I remember one thing that you told me that has stayed with me forever is the worst you can do is ask and they'll say no.
Yeah.
But always ask.
Hi, I'm Aisha Baker and you're listening to Bake the Podcast, brought to you by Satiskin. Today, I speak to Rachel Khaleesi. Rachel is a mom, wife, and social media influencer. We chat to her about her budding new business and WAG life. Let's hear our conversation with Rachel. Okay, so Rachel and I met 6 years ago. Did you know that?
Crazy. I can't believe it.
So Nick is 6 years old, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I met you when you were pregnant with Nick. I think you were maybe like 3 months-ish. You weren't even showing yet.
Sure.
Like you were very early. I remember Sia had gone to lunch to tell the boys and Wayne thought that it was a nice time for me to meet all of his friends when his friend is saying that he's like having his first child. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not even supposed to be here for this conversation. It was super awkward for me because I was literally sitting there. I think Wayne and I were dating 2 months, 3 months. And I was like, oh, this is like an announcement lunch and I'm like an outsider. So it was Sia, Wayne, Faisal, all the gray boys. Mm-hmm. Willem was there.
Yeah.
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 I think feel like your brother was there. Oh no, he wasn't there. It was Nick. Nick was there. Nick who Nick is named after.
Yeah.
So I remember Sia talking about this and I was like, didn't know what to say. I was just sitting there like listening to them. And then I was like, oh, well, why didn't you invite her to come to lunch? And he's like, oh, yeah, I should have probably asked her to come, eh? And everyone's like, yeah, we would have wanted to meet her. And then he invited you to the drinks. Well, I kind of forced the drinks. I'm a forceful person. So we all went and tried for drinks. And then you came and then we connected. And that was 6 years ago.
Sure, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him having this thing. And he was like, it's only for boys. It's only for boys. And then he phoned me while he was there. And he was like, oh my word, Wayne brought his girlfriend. And she's so cool. She's like a fashion person. You have to meet her. We're all going to a place afterwards. Let's meet up. And then I came over there and I remember we chatted and we connected immediately. We had a lot in common. We were going through a lot of stuff at the same kind of time. And
the sports thing.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a huge thing.
I know, like, WAG is like such a funny term because it's become so, like, I guess, synonymous with the glamorous lifestyle.
No, I've hated the term WAG from the minute I heard it.
But now you're Queen WAG.
If there ever was such a thing.
I saw that on Twitter because I was preparing for our interview. And I just searched your name. That's the best thing to do.
I'm sure there's the most interesting on Twitter. If you type in Rachel Khaleesi.
I absolutely laughed out loud. Because it's funny for me because I know you so well.
For sure.
And one of the things I did see was Queen WAG. I hate girl of WAGs.
Absolutely hate the term WAG. I think that it's so, it really just boxes a bunch of women. And it's such a ridiculous term. There's such a stereotype, I think, that's created around it, and which is so inaccurate. I think a lot of people don't realize the sacrifice that comes from being a WAG, what it actually means. So I hate the term WAG.
I know. You always said that you hate it. I always, when I became a WAG, I tried to like dispel it as well. I was like, I'm more than Wayne Parnell's. I used to get really mad. Actually, I still kind of do get mad. Mm. People say Wayne Parnell's wife.
Mm.
Part of the reason I didn't change my surname as well, because I'm like, I have my own identity.
Yeah. But to be honest, like when I met you, after I met you and I realized like your influence or what you were doing, it really made me realize like actually Wayne is Aisha's husband.
Oh,
it wasn't
you.
The other way around at all. You were from the get-go, you were 100% running your own show. And in my opinion, you were way ahead of the game than any cricketer or rugby player at that stage.
Oh, thank you. I wish the agents would just pay me to consult.
Come on. No, I feel you, girl.
I'd love to consult. And it's so funny because interesting. I think when I listen to conversations with other people and they talk about being a WAG and what that means and, you know, what that means to us and where we're going from there. It's always like interesting to me. I it's hard to describe it. It's kind of this like lonely, weird journey that like you kind of on your own, and then you find these other people floating around with you.
Yeah.
Trying to like build your own brand or do something for yourself, and you can't because you have to like maintain this relationship as well.
Yeah.
I think the hardest thing for me, and you can tell me what was the hardest thing for you, but for me it was like trying to have a relationship and have a career, because you almost have to give up when they're in town and just be completely and 100% on them.
Yeah.
And then they leave you, then you're like, I have nothing now because I gave up everything to be with you. So
totally. And I think the game changes completely after you have kids.
Yeah.
So you can still find your own identity, I guess, before you have children. You can kind of go ahead with your own thing. You know, your time is your own. But after you have children, it's a real, real, real struggling. And actually, I believe that there's quite a time almost that you don't have an identity almost. You're a mother and you're a wife to an athlete. And actually, those are your only two job descriptions for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And it's very, very, very easy to get caught up in that and stay there.
Yeah.
And to try to find a way to get out of that and discover your own identity again. And what you want to do actually outside of being a mother and a wife is really challenging.
Yeah.
And it's not something that many people get right. Actually, I've seen a lot of women that succumb to the circumstance and that becomes their reality. But that's why all the time, a lot of the women that I look up to are always women that are doing their own thing outside of their husbands being athletes and on top of that being a mother. I have massive respect for those women. Yeah, I really just believe that they hold it down better than a lot of the people that I know.
Yeah, it's really interesting what you're saying, and I just wanted to actually ask you a question around that. What do you feel was the moment for you, or where was the moment for you when you realized that you could actually have something of your own outside of Sia's like big career? Because I know, I mean, when I met you 6 years ago, you guys were just this normal rugby couple. And we all know a lot of sport couples.
Yeah.
And then you just blew up out of nowhere, and then I almost felt like, as your friend, like I was always like, what about Rachel? Like, she's just there, like, what's happening? Like, how is this gonna affect her and the kids? And you have four kids. I mean, I have one, and I'm like struggling managing four like sets of homework and itineraries, and then also trying to find yourself. So where in that, what was the moment, the pinnacle that you found yourself?
Well, Aisha, if you remember, I used to ask you a lot about the stuff you were doing, because I was like, she's flexible, she's making her own income, and she's still managing to support her husband and what he's doing. So I used to ask you about the brands that you used to work with.
I
used to ask you, like, how do you do it, basically? How do you learn? And I learned so much from you, from what you were doing. Honestly, I did. And I remember one thing that you told me that has stayed with me forever is, the worst you can do is ask and they'll say no.
Yeah.
But always ask. And I remember I was so intimidated to do that. And you were like, honestly, it's the easiest thing. You go to a brand, you say, can I have X, Y, Z, whatever. And either they'll say no or they'll be like, sure, no problem. Yeah. So I really fed off a lot of what you were doing, and was really inspired by how you were managing to keep your own life together and independently so. And it took a while because Sia and I went through a lot of ups and downs, you know, just trying to find our feet. We were parents to three kids at the time. His career was blowing up, but it also had its lows and its highs along the way. I always knew I wanted to do something independently. I just couldn't figure out how or what. And it actually took me to getting to a situation that, to be honest, almost wiped me out completely.
Yeah.
I struggled a lot with my personal life being very publicized and scrutinized. And
oh my gosh, there was a stage when your guys' relationship was so public that Wayne was like getting mad at me because I was defending, like I felt like I needed to go on Twitter, and I'm like, screw this, like I'm gonna tell people, like they don't know the story, they don't know what's really going on, like fuck this, I'm so mad. And then I think U Magazine, one of the reporters called me, and then I was angry about the call. And then Wayne was like, well, you need to stop going online and defending. And so it got really tricky. And I wondered, like, I often wondered, I never asked you because obviously you're going through it yourself, but like, how do you navigate like your real life outside of the public life where you like, people have built this narrative around your relationship? now you just a normal person sitting there trying to figure out, like, listen, I actually want to work and I don't know where I'm going to do that. Like, a lot of people don't know that you were working at Airbnb at one stage and you were cleaning the B&B.
Totally. I was cleaning the toilets and making the beds.
I found like, you like, oh, I got a job. I'm now cleaning at this
B&B. I was 6 months pregnant with my second child working at a B&B. That was 100% my, that was my career at the time.
That's you. painting the whole house when you're like 7 months pregnant.
Totally. A lot of people don't know that. But you know what? The thing is, you can open up the public to your life completely as much as you want. Everyone is going to have their own opinion. Yeah. So actually, before you even say anything, everybody knows whether they're going to like it or they're going to hate it. Everyone's got their opinion already made up and you can't change that.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. The thing is that you as a person who's putting your life out there have to come to peace with that. You have to be at peace with the fact that not everyone's going to agree with you. Not everyone's going to be for your life. In fact, there's a bunch of people out there who actually would love to see you fail.
Yeah.
You have to come to peace with that. And you kind of have to just overcome it and not care and just move on and do what you're doing anyway. I also believe that a lot of the people around me really supported me, not only in the good times, but like in the bad times as well. And it's important to identify those people and to hang on to them for dear life because there's not many of those around.
Yeah.
And you see people, I mean, as life either elevates or escalates, you see people around you kind of jumping on or hopping off straight
hopping
away.
On, yes.
So you've got to be like really careful with people like that
Do
as
you
well.
Remember what, I think his name is Pastor Phil.
Yes.
What he said at your wedding? It was so, he said a lot of
I
stuff.
I may or may not.
He said a really poignant thing. He said that we as your witnesses, we're not only witnessing the marriage, but we're almost a part of it. And it's our duty to keep the marriage strong.
Yeah.
And we mustn't only be there to celebrate the wedding, but also to be there for the couple as they embark on a journey. Because marriage is really difficult. And I know people like to sell this story that it's not difficult. It is difficult for everybody, even people who are happily married.
Yeah.
And then through like a whole athlete who has like endorsement deals and public groupies and public sort of like opinions of them, like people have to be outside of the home and then they leave and they just leave you for like, well, Barney leaves me for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there. So you have this whole thing, this whole dynamic. It's very complicated. So when I was at your wedding, I messaged Wayne, was so upset with me because I cried at your wedding. I didn't cry at our wedding. Firstly, I was like, I'm so in tears. The pastor said this, and then he was like, and I'm not even a Christian, I'm a Muslim. But the statement was just so real for me.
Yeah.
And the first thing he said to me was like, I can't believe you effing crying at Rachel's wedding and didn't cry at ours. And I was like, I'm sorry, but this the pastor got me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what everybody who was at your wedding, I'm sure you're still close with everyone that was there.
Not everyone.
Most people. I know like your girlfriends, I know them personally and you've had like little brides and stuff. We were all connected on things and I know that they definitely play that role of holding you, almost holding you accountable and grounding you in where you come from. Like, this is where you're at.
Yeah.
It's funny because I actually messaged, I don't think I messaged you this, but I felt like I needed to message Sia. I was like, don't forget us now that you're famous. And he was like, yay.
Did he reply? Because he said, be shocked if he did.
No, he did. He said, yay, Baker. I will never. And I was like, okay. Because I just feel like that really sat with me what the pastor said. And I know it's really important in your life.
It's so important, Aisha. And I mean, you know, I think a lot of people take that for granted, you know, when they get invited to a wedding or something big and so a milestone in somebody's life, like the importance behind it. It's not a shallow thing. It's a very deep, very heavy, very responsible thing. And I think that a lot of people forget the value in that and the importance of it. I mean, to be honest, it's incredible to see like how in life, so like at my wedding, Sia and I were in a completely different place and you can almost tell by like the friendship groups. So like a lot of people there, some people didn't even show up.
On your wedding day?
Oh yeah.
Really? Not even picked up billing?
Oh, I went to every single table to make sure I saw who didn't come because I was like, okay, cool, bye.
Yeah, out.
But yeah, I just think something someone actually said to me recently was, as much as you've got to protect somebody in their presence and when they're around you, it's even more important to do it when they're not.
Yeah.
So like when somebody is absent and not around, and especially I think with the stuff that kind of goes on social media these days, everyone's like, I don't want to get involved in the drama. Yeah. I don't want to I don't want to cause a, but actually like you do sometimes need your friends to back you.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's and what like was your last
situation
with the storm. I was feeling like I was a PR manager there, and yeah. Wayne doesn't get me sometimes because he does, but he gets annoyed because I'm very like emotional, especially with my friends. It doesn't like for me, I don't need to see someone every day to feel a connection with them.
Yeah.
And when I was just like going off, and then I was like, I can't, Wayne doesn't get this.
Yeah.
And so I actually messaged Siv, and guess he was also a comedian, like producers of me. And I said, Siv, are you angry too? Because I'm like, I need someone to back me on this fight. He's like, I'm in. And then we like went on Twitter and we just like, I just felt like someone from this side of the fence needed to like stand their ground and be like, actually guys, like this is none of our business. Like let's stop talking about these people. And I do feel that because the two of us did that, then other people started saying, you know, maybe we are being mean.
100%, Aisha. And let me tell you something. That, to me, that's the way forward. So, I'm so tired. And it's one thing that I saw on social media so often of people almost just saying what's appropriate and only showing what's appropriate.
Yeah.
But, like, if, say, there's something you think is wrong or something you don't believe is right and you say something, then you shouldn't. You're not supposed to do that. You must just be quiet, be supportive, don't cause any drama or anything. Just ignore it, forget about it. And I'm like, no. And I think that I've been very consistent in the way that I've approached my social media and how I do things. I'm not on Twitter because I believe that it's just turned into an absolute dog show, to say the least.
It really is.
Then there's no conversations that are happening there that actually have a decent outcome. Everyone's just fighting with each other and it's super negative. So actually, like, for my heart and my soul and my brain space, I just got out of those streets and one of the best decisions I ever made.
I think that actually really impacted you positively,
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even, like, it's just come to me. Because I asked you, when was the moment? I actually think the moment you deleted Twitter was when things just started looking up.
It was probably a little bit afterwards, but, like, definitely getting off Twitter was a great decision because people are ruthless out there.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that it's a positive social media space anymore.
I have
anymore.
My mentions completely blocked. Like, you can't...
Yeah.
I used to search my name. I don't do that. I used to search Wayne's name. Whoa. That was like probably the worst thing ever. Because like when you used to play for Proteas, if you just bowled a bad ball.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would like want to cry because it was so bad. Oh, no, my gosh.
People are horrible. And
that's when I blocked my mentions because I was like, if Wayne is bowling the last over at the MCG in front of 90,000 people and you guys think that your little attack is going to change things. I was like, nope.
No, it's so stressful. But it's something that I believe, like, there's a new generation of influencers, if you will, or just influential people in the social media streets that are coming up. And for lack of better words, they don't take shit.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
So I think everyone needs to get used to that and everyone needs to be a little bit more aware of kind of the comments that they make and the DMs that they're sending because we have every right to post those kinds of things. You know, if you're going to send them to us and we're going to call you out for it, then don't be shocked.
That's so true. Speaking of social media, I really do enjoy your brand of social media. I call it your brand because it sounds cute. But I love that you're so real because I remember you went to, I think it was Paris or Monaco or somewhere, and we were chatting about your outfit.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because I'm sometimes your WhatsApp stylist every now and then. And you sent me a picture and I was like, oh, Rachel, this is a killer picture. You have to post it. And you were looking back and you looked really gorgeous. You had your makeup and hair done. And then you posted this other picture. Of yourself with your tongue out, legs open, you look like a hot mess. And I was sitting with Annalisa, who's my best friend, for those who don't know, at the time. And I literally like laughed and moved forward, like I burst out laughing. And I was like, only Rachel would do this. And I think I commented, only you will do this. And so tell me, why is it important for you to present sort of the unfiltered side of you on social media, and what is it messaging behind that for you?
You know what I feel like kind of social media has gone towards is these women or people, men and women, just have these flawless, beautiful like profiles. And I mean, it's amazing. Like some people only want to see beautiful things. And so, and that's totally fine. Like there's something for everyone. But what I feel like there isn't enough on is real and like honest. And then there's people that are almost doing a reenactment of real, like it's too much. You're just like, okay, just it's fine. Like you don't need to be so extra with your real.
We know that you're real.
So there's no actual real. There's no like, this is actually what's happening. This is actually how I'm feeling. And there was almost a stage where that was like frowned upon, where you're like, oh,
yes,
like,
it was.
That's weird, you know? And I think that it's something that needs to be made cool again, you know, that people need to know. So, and sweet. Especially women, they need to know, like, just because I'm in the public eye or whatever does not mean that I don't have real days. And I promise you, I wake up looking just like you do in the morning. But instead of keeping that kind of my stuff to myself, I'm like, I'm going to show you. Like, I'm just as normal as everybody else. And I do believe that it changes the way that people almost treat you on social media as well, because they feel like they can relate to you and they feel like, okay, cool, she's also a person. So kind of when I meet people at events or in the streets or whatever, and they come say hi, they almost give me a hug and they're like, it's so nice to meet you. And they were like, can I get a selfie? And there's like freak out fan moment, which I love so much more.
But it's so funny, don't you find, because you and C are so different. Like he's very polished on social media. Like most people don't know how hilarious he is. That he's gotten caught a few times now recently where I think he didn't know he was being filmed. Just after you guys won the World Cup, all these videos surfaced of like him being funny, like in a sly and like media catching. And he's the funniest, most like tongue-in-cheek, silly.
Hilarious.
Like anyone who knows him knows that he's just not to be taken seriously. But if you go on his social media, he looks like the most serious captain of the world. Like he's that guy.
Totally.
He loves Jesus and he's serious. But actually, he still loves Jesus, but he's super, super funny. He's like the funniest person. And I think when I was speaking to a friend who doesn't know you guys. She started following you. She lives out of the country. She started following you after the World Cup. And she was like, Sia's wife is so quirky. And I was thinking, that's so funny. Because, like, if anybody knows you, he's the quirky one.
For sure.
He's the next level.
I'm actually such an introvert. So, like, in person, like, these big events freak me out so much. I'm like, please just drop me in a corner somewhere. And you'll know as well, because we went to events and you thrive. You're just like a social butterfly. You go for it. Same as Sia. Sia just like thrives in those environments.
Wayne's actually like you. Put me in the corner.
Seriously, put me in a corner. Like, leave me there and I'm very happy there. On social media, sure, like I can have a go. But in person, like when you meet me, I'm actually...
quite shy.
I
don't know if you're shy. You're just like... one of those people who speaks when they feel they have something to say.
Sure, maybe, yeah, maybe just a little bit more reserved.
Yeah, and you're an observer as well. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
You, like, observe situations and you come back with a full report and you say, like, this is how I feel about these things that happen at this event. Yeah, so I love that brand of social media, because there was a post that I struggle really with my self-image now that I've had my son.
Yeah.
I'm 10 kilos heavier. It's actually even hard for me to say it. It's just so weird. And I feel that, like, when I look in the mirror, I find it really difficult to look in the mirror, and I have this self-loathing that plays over and over again, because I've never been this size before. And then it's so funny, because I have that post of yours saved where you were like, you were much heavier. And you just started your journey and you said, oh, I'm going to share myself in a sports bra and tights and show you what I look like now, because I'm going to look different in the future and I want to show you at the start. And I remember thinking, like, oh my God, is she crazy? Like, what if she doesn't lose the weight? Like, isn't she scared? Like, this is so brave. Was that a brave moment for you?
My hands were sweating. I remember very clearly, I was like, you know when you put a post together and you like write the writing and you like got the caption, you're like my hands even sweat now, like thinking about it. My hands were sweating.
Yeah.
And especially that last photo, because you know when you sit in a chair at dinner and you have the fat rolls and you always pull your shirt out or something because you want to try hide it. And I took a photo like that. And afterwards, I actually spoke to a girl actually that we're working with that's, she's also a little bit overweight and really working on, she wants to lose 20 kgs this year.
Whoa.
And I just kind of said to her, I said, you know what, it's so freeing to show yourself like that. And I really believe that that was that was probably the realest post, the first realest post I had done.
Yeah, you had no tan on, your hair was not tan.
It was a hot mess.
Yeah.
And that was the first real post I did. And with the amount of women that were just so grateful, yeah, and like, we remember, like, women especially that have had kids and are struggling with their weight are in a cage. It's, yeah, a really hard, tough place to be in, and it's very hard to find people that understand, especially people that are all like fitnessy and, yeah, like just getting their best, it's life, so, and like moms that got their bodies back
with an athlete as well.
Oh yeah,
it's, I just feel so, sometimes I'm so angry at Wayne because he eats and he just like,
I know,
yeah, it's like ripped the next day, and I'm like, this is so unreal. Like, if I have a donut now, I can literally see it. I said to him the other day, I said, I feel like the donut goes into my body and then swells
just
up
stays
and,
there.
Like, and then stays there for 10 years.
Totally.
It's like the worst thing.
Yeah.
So you did feel like it was freeing, and did you feel like you had to be brave in that moment for yourself or for your followers? Or
for myself especially, but for everyone following me as well, because I really do believe this whole thing. And actually, I remember because around that time you had started training,
yeah,
and another friend that you know as well had just had a child and was also started training. But I remember always seeing your posts, and you literally wore head to toe. You didn't, and I think you did something about your arm.
Yeah.
And also this other friend of mine, I was posting some stuff about her tummy and all of this, yeah, and I was just like, who decided that a woman who's had a child is not acceptable? Who decided that we can't wear crop tops in the gym? Who decided that we are not good looking? Who, yeah, did that?
I also want to know, because I'm still there. I'm still at that point where I feel like, oh, like I just want to wake up and be thin again.
You know what? It's all, everyone is in their own process, and yeah, everyone is in their own journey, and some people can overcome it sooner than others. But I truly believe that with my heart of hearts, it's a mind shift first before, okay, anything is going to change in your body. So like, if your mind is not accepting, like, this is where I'm at the moment, yeah, I don't plan on staying here, like I'm going to go somewhere with it, then it's going to be very hard for your body to kind of let go of that, you know. Mm. So it's
so
really,
how did you get your mind there though? Like, I think that's what a lot of us would want to ask you, is like, what clicked for you? Is there like a special thing that you did where your mind, you were like more focused? Because I know you had been trying to lose weight after Kizzy for a while, but it was that moment that you just was, you were like, and it clicked, and then you lost the weight and you like looked better than ever before.
You know what? It's the minute I stopped caring what people thought. So okay, when I posted that post, and I was like, you know what? If everyone's like, this is disgusting, and I get 100 likes on this post or whatever, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care anymore. So I just stopped caring what people thought about me, because that's very time consuming.
Yeah.
And it drains your soul. It constantly does. Wondering what everyone's thinking. Like, is this post okay? Are people going to whatever? So it's the most draining thing to do, is always to depend on other people and the opinions that they have of you. So honestly, for every woman, I'm like, just stop caring.
Yeah.
So this girl actually that like I've been working with the other night, she's like, it's so hot, I just want to train without my shirt on. And she sent me a photo of her like in a mirror without her shirt on.
Yeah.
And I was like, girl, for every single other girl who's feeling exactly like you are right now, do it.
Yeah.
Do it and post about it and
so
show
us. It's funny that you say that, because I remember that moment for me when my cousin trains me.
Yeah.
And she actually, I saw her at my sister's engagement party, and Wayne was just teasing me. He was teasing me, and I don't think anyone understands how he is. He's just a guy who teases.
Clown.
And he was joking about like me being pregnant again. But it was, in our family, that's funny, and I wasn't offended. And she said to me like, are you okay? And I said, you know, besides that joke, I'm actually not. I need to train, but I don't know how to get there. And then she helped me, and she was at the gym with me, and I'd come like fully covered up. And then she was like, are you getting hot? Like, you can take your top off if you want. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. Yeah. I'll take it off when I have a six pack. And then she's like, no, just like, if you're feeling hot, take it off. And then the day I took it off, it felt like there were angels singing. I was like, I'm breathing.
You, it's so freeing. And it's so much more than feeling cooler. It's just freeing for you and like for your soul. And like, the fact, if we as influential people are not doing it, I can guarantee you the woman on the street is not going to feel comfortable doing it. So I think that we've got to take responsibility, yes, for ourselves, but also for the woman that we are influencing.
Yeah.
Because if they're watching us and feeling like they can't do something, I feel like we've got to be responsible as well for kind of what they feel like is good and not.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Like, so actually, I saw you post, you trained in shorts on, and I was like, jeebus, that girl's like booty is awesome. Like, why is she not living in shorts?
I don't know why I was so like shy to show my body. Whereas when I was skinny, I was like, I was telling Wayne when we were in Barbados, I would wear a bikini and sneakers and like walk around the street.
Yeah.
And I said to him, like, I want to feel that again. I actually told him the other day, I'm like, I'm wearing a bikini to the beach because I just don't care.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. And I was like, cool.
Yeah.
So can we speak a bit about rise? Because I think that culminates to what with the whole conversation we're having about purpose and about being influential and what you're sharing with ladies at the Rise events. Mm-hmm. I am dying to go. Actually, we have a mutual client, which is super exciting, which I'll chat to you about off air.
Awesome.
And we were talking about the Rise events, and I said, like, I really want to attend and do like some social media content for them at Rise.
Yeah.
And so tell us, for those of who don't know what Rise is about, what is it about and what's the relationship between you and Bods by Tam?
So I love talking about Rise so much because it's just the coolest thing in the whole world. But Rise was birthed out of desperation, so a place of desperation. I had just been through a media storm. Actually, I had just done that post, and Tam was sitting at a bar with a bunch of guys. They were all watching the rugby, and Tam overheard the guys kind of talking about Sia, how great he was, how what an amazing rugby player he is, but how sad it is that he's married to me. I've let myself go. I'm looking disgusting. Did you see that post she did? And Tam was just horrified. She's like, she can't believe that like people feel comfortable talking like this, like out in the open. And so she DM'd me and asked me if I would like to come and train with her. I started training with her, and she ended up going through something really tough on that journey. I had a storm that hit me as well on my journey, and we just kind of found ourselves on this journey together through health and fitness, but heart, soul, mind, everything, and just kind of holding each other accountable for the way that we were feeling, for the training, for the eating, everything we were doing. And because I'm so active on social media, a lot of women were kind of asking how were you like, how are you training every day? You haven't slept last night. How are you?
Me training with Kezi running in the gym.
Totally. Like, I had all my kids there some sessions. So how are you doing this? How are you okay? How are you managing? Yeah. And then it just made us realize that women are desperate for a community. Women want to know that other women have their backs. And we so badly wanted to make our journey accessible to other women and really help them on whatever journey they were with.
Almost like a support group.
100%. And we created a training guide, a ebook. And to launch the ebook, we had a brunch. And we scraped together 50 women that we were like, half of them were our friends. And we were just like, please come to this thing because no one's really interested. And maybe for the 10 women that actually just bought because they follow me and they think I'm cool or whatever, they came to us sobbing with like they'd been raped. Some are suicidal. Whoa. Some have abusive husbands. Some are just really depressed and they don't know why. Just in tears afterwards because they were so grateful for this community and like what was going to come for us. So they literally begged us. They were like, please, we need more of this. We need more community. We need more of this. So we just started doing it. We did our first event in Stellenbosch. And then, of course, Joburg was like, when are you coming? I've seen it with your Millennial Mama events. When are you coming to Joburg? When are you coming to Durban?
Like, I also started Millennial Mama on a whim. And now I'm kind of like, oh my God, I'm not ready for this.
Anyone who's going to succeed at doing this, thanks. It's going to be you.
Thank you. Yeah, because we have the same similar story because with our ladies, it was Millennial Mama was born out of my postnatal depression.
Yeah.
And I was like, why don't women like sit together and talk about motherhood? Like, why don't we do this? And you know, I listened to this podcast the other day on Gwyneth Paltrow's channel Goop, and they spoke about how women our age are having midlife crises earlier because we don't have a support structure of other women. And it said that most of us shame ourselves constantly and speak negatively to ourselves. Mm. And there's no one to support us out of that. Mm. So, I mean, when our grandparents were growing up or entering life, they would maybe say, oh, I'm so disgusting, look at my stomach. And the friend would say, are you crazy? You look amazing. Like, 100%. Let's cook lunch together or let's go for a walk. And I think we lost that with social media.
I was just going to say, add social media into the mix and everything changes. Man, I've seen women like post themselves in a bikini with twins like that have just been born. And I'm like, listen, it's great. Like, it's awesome that you're feeling good. You have had your twins. Like, it's awesome. But like, when you're an influencer, you've got to think about everyone that's watching that and how it makes them feel. Yeah. Like, I think a lot of influencers are just not feeling responsible enough for the people that are constantly following their journeys. And they are so influenced, like, and so affected by what we put out there that, like, some influencers just not being careful enough. Yeah. Like, I cringe. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, there's no responsibility or accountability or
absolutely
taking your role seriously in society as a whole. And I think even, you know, around our families, for those who are not even on social media and maybe just listening to this podcast, I think it's important for us to hold that true in our own settings, you know, like 100%. Stop shaming your family or support that family member or friend that's shaming herself or himself, because that does happen. We, like, I have a very close friend. She does my hair on shoots.
Yeah.
And like, I don't even know. I say these things about myself and she like catches it and she'll be like, excuse me, please don't be disrespectful to my friend. And I'm like, I laugh about it. And she's like, no, I don't like you speaking about my friend like that. And I'm like, oh, I'm just saying. And she's like, no, please don't body shame my friend. And I'm like, okay, cool, sorry. And then I start to, it's actually started to shift my own thinking. So I think like, it's important for us to hold that true, whether it is coming to your events and getting that support there or on your, the Rise social media page or whether it's at church or whether it's at mosque or in your little ladies club. Like, we need to find those pockets where people can just inspire and uplift each other.
100%. But I just want to stress the fact, Aisha, that like, from the get-go, from the minute I met you, that you were 100% like, I don't even think you realize like what a part you played in my journey and like how much you inspired
me.
Because you constantly, and I'm not just saying that like to butt you up, it's very serious for me, that honestly, like, you constantly stuck to what you know, you stayed consistent in everything that you did, and you never let anyone sway you. You took a lot of beating on social media as well, but you constantly stayed like consistent and hardworking in everything that you did. And I mean, you've had so many life changes. You got married, you have a whole household to look after, which I know was a big change for you as well. And then of course you had a baby, which is not for the faint-hearted at all. And then you still like had a comeback, and I remember seeing all your posts and you're like, I'm coming for it all, like I'm coming for a comeback and stuff. And I'm like, honestly, it's going to be no comeback for you. It's going to be a continuation. It's on your so journey hard. And like, and it's going to be even more valuable than what your journey ever was. Like, it's incredible. And it's so beautiful to have been able to like witness that and see it.
So guys, get yourself some good friends that can watch you.
Come on.
Watch you for 6 years and root for you. Cause that's really what we're doing. Yeah. Rachel, you need to tell people to follow Rise. So tell them where they can follow Rise.
And
where they
can check out the Rise page. We love hearing from everyone on Rise and what everyone's up to and just kind of the space you're in. We've got so much coming up with Rise, which is, just gives me goosebumps to think about it. But the most exciting thing, so we're mostly active on Instagram, so at risewomen__ otherwise our website www.risewomen.org.za.
and then you can follow Rachel at Rachel Khaleesi.
Very original.
Thank you so much for speaking to us.
So thanks, guys, for having me.
Thank you for listening to Rachel and I chat. And you can follow me at Baked Online. You can follow Rachel at Rachel Khaleesi. And you can see more of our podcasts on any podcast platform, on your phone, or on the interwebs. You can also follow www.bakedonline.co.za. That's my website. You can subscribe and we'll send you regular updates. Ciao for now. Bye.
This is a POC podcast
powered by Blue Blood.